We'll be turning to the book of Hebrews momentarily this morning together. I wonder, as you're finding the book of Hebrews, if you had to choose someone to represent the faith, if you will, someone who would embody what it means to be a Christian, who would, of the many personages that we encounter in the Bible, who would that person be that would enter your mind? We're going to turn to Hebrews 11 this morning, and we're going to look at who I think is the poster child, if I can say it that way, for what it means to know God, and that would be none other than Abraham himself. Beginning in verse 8 through 12, would you read with me this morning? I am reading from the ESV, in case you're wondering. The author of Hebrews writes, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." This is the word of God. What does a nomad who lived almost 4,000 years ago have in common with 21st century people, I wonder? And I think part of the key this morning, even as I raise that question to us, part of the key to gaining an understanding of that possible relationship, is considering the theme, a dual theme that is woven throughout the Old Testament, and especially through the life of Abraham and the patriarchs. And that dual theme is the theme of wilderness and sojourning. It's amazing to me how often sojourning is mentioned in the Old Testament. Over time, there has been a mystique, it seems, that has been built around the concept of wilderness, the idea of what a wilderness is. Of course, we live here, up here in beautiful Maine. We know a little bit about what wilderness is like, do we not? If you don't own a chainsaw, you've hauled your share of wood, I'm sure, to heat your home, or you know somebody that you've helped with that process. There's an allurement to the idea of heading out into the wilderness, as it were, quote unquote. And there's a variety of reasons over time people have done that. In fact, I'm sure you've heard the expression used, you know, I'm going out to find myself. I did a lot of hiking several years ago, on the Appalachian Trail, over many years is what I meant to say. And one of the common denominators that I found oftentimes with backpackers who hike to the Appalachian Trail every year is this idea of going into the wilderness, going to the woods to find yourself, as it were. They would put a backpack on and they would start this epic journey that was almost 2,000 miles plus long, and in hopes that they would find some kind of resolution to a personal crisis that they were in. Not always, but many times that was the case. Over the course of history, men have headed into the wilderness for various reasons. Just consider, for instance, our own American heritage. You know, I'm sure we're all familiar with the famed Lewis and Clark expedition with the Corps of Discovery, where both these men with a team of explorers headed out west in hopes of finding a waterway, exploring the Missouri River, a route that would lead to the Pacific Ocean, right? So there's that famous enterprise. There's also well-known name Henry David Thoreau, right? Philosopher, American philosopher and environmental scientist. Thoreau wrote in his classic work, Walden, the following. I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor did I wish to practice resignation unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as to put to rout all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms. It's a bit romantic, right? But we get the idea, do we not? There's this idea that if I live in proximity to the wilderness, somehow just the sheer naked fact of being close to the wilderness, that is going to help me or enable me to discover the true meaning of what living is all about. What relevance can this idea of wilderness have for your life, for my life this morning? Let me try to answer it this way, begin to answer it this way. When you go to the doctor and he says, it's cancer, you've entered the wilderness. When you come home after a long day of work and your spouse says to you, I want a divorce, you've entered the wilderness. When your son or your daughter, who you have raised in the faith, says, thanks but no thanks, you can keep your Jesus, you've entered a wilderness. It's not just an abstract idea. I'm trying to help us see that this world is a wilderness. In fact, it's not so much I who is trying to help you see. It's the Word of God, the Scriptures, the very Scriptures are helping us this morning through Abraham's narrative. They're helping us see that the wilderness isn't just about landscape or geography, but rather a state of being in which we all live this side of the fall. This world is a wilderness. We need to be rescued from turning someone like Abraham into a mere theological abstraction, someone that we have absolutely no relationship to. And a proper understanding of what the wilderness is begins to help us to grasp those connections. The wilderness is that place where nothing is stable and everything seems perilous. The Bible is showing us that the very nature of Abraham's life and living out of a tent, having been called by God to live out of a tent, in and of itself is hinting to us, is pointing us, is a pointer to the very nature of what it means to enter into a relationship with God. And so we see that Abraham represents a kind of sojourner, if you will. So look at verse 8, just our text this morning. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. The first thing we see here is that Abraham was called. Abraham, folks, wasn't seeking. Beloved, he was an idolater. He had no conception of the true and living God. But God reached down and revealed himself to him personally and intimately in this call. When he literally showed up and said, Abraham, I want you to leave everything that you know and go, and I will show you where you're to go. And he had no roadmap other than God's call on his life. J.R.R. Tolkien helps me kind of wrap my mind a little bit around this. I'm sure you may be familiar. You may or may not have read the books, the Lord of the Rings. Perhaps you've seen some in the movies. But even so, if you have not, Tolkien presents us with two concepts, two ideas of journeying, of what it means to go on a journey. He has the story of the Hobbit is an epic. The story of the Lord of the Rings is an epic story filled with tensions and clashes between good and evil. The Hobbit is a story about this creature called the Hobbit that goes off on a journey, on an adventure, in fact. And Tolkien defines a journey as a there and back again kind of a journey. And so that's what Tolkien defines as an adventure, right? An adventure is the kind of thing you wake up in the morning and say, you know what, it'd be fun to go to the coast and take my bike with me. Or, you know, or maybe we'll go shopping today and see what we can find. That would be an adventure. It's the kind of thing you decide and you choose and you're coming back, right? You know you'll be home safely in your bed by day's end. But then there's another form of journeying called the quest that Tolkien introduces us to. And that is what you see depicted in the story of the Lord of the Rings. There, this small band of hobbits, as Tolkien calls them, this is a piece of fantasy literature, are called, right? This is not a journey that they choose. There is a villain seeking to take over the world and this story. And Frodo, the hobbit, is chosen for this journey. And he is told that he is not likely to come back alive. And that is the quest. That is more akin to the kind of call that Abraham received. He was set by God on a quest. The quest is that kind of journey you don't choose, but rather that you're chosen for. Right? Abraham didn't choose to leave everything that was nailed down and stable and predictable. No, God called him out as he has called you and I out of that which is predictable and stable, to follow him and to enter into a living relationship with him. We do not choose that journey, but rather are chosen for the journey. Os Guinness penetratingly makes this observation. We cannot find God without God. We cannot reach God without God. We cannot satisfy God without God. Which is another way of saying that all our seeking will fall short unless God starts and finishes the search. The decisive part of our seeking is not our human ascent to God, but his descent to us. Without God's descent, there is no human ascent. The secret of the quest lies not in our brilliance, but in his grace. Think about that, beloved, this morning. The reason you woke up, in other words, as a Christian this morning, is not because you had the brilliant idea of embracing the Lordship of Christ, but rather because God in his grace has drawn you out and called you to himself. As he did when he called an idol-worshiping nomad named Abraham. You see, we have more in common with Abraham this morning than we perhaps suppose we do. Look, continue to look with me. Verse 9. By faith, we're told, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Is that how we live? I wondered this morning. Do we live like sojourners in this world? Do we have a sojourning mindset as Christians? This is the essence of what it means to be a sojourner. Notice Abraham's posture towards God's promise. It says, he lived in the land of promise, and God had given him this promise that he would become an heir of land, right? And yet, though he enters the land of promise, he lives in that land as in a foreign land. In other words, Abraham adopted a posture of holding God's gifts, even God's greatest gifts to him, with an open hand. He held all of that loosely. Abraham saw that God's gifts and God's promises were not the ultimate point. The promises were not an end in itself, so much as pointers. They were pointing to something beyond themselves. God was interested in giving Abraham more than just real estate, in other words, more than just property. That promise of land was signaling to Abraham that there was something greater even than the land that he was being promised. The ultimate proof of this, of course, is Abraham's response when God comes to him and says, "Abraham, that son which I promised you to give to you, to give you and your wife in your olden age, I want you to take that son, the son of promise, and I want you to drive a knife through him." And you recall how Abraham obeyed God and took Isaac, the son of promise, up the mountain, laid him on the altar, and even as he was about to plunge the knife into him to take his life, to sacrifice him as an act of obedience, God stopped him and said, "Abraham, now I know that you fear me, that you trust me." Right? God's gifts were pointers beyond themselves to a more abiding reality. Look at verse 10. "For he," Abraham, "was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." God's gifts are pointers beyond themselves to a more abiding reality. And so, what is the aim then of sojourning in the wilderness, we can ask? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of sojourning, of entering into a wilderness mindset? Look now, the rest of our passage, verses 11 and 12. "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." The point of entering into a wilderness mindset of sojourning is to produce trust in God, and finding our trust rewarded. Look at verse 6. Turn back to verse 6 for a moment. The author of Hebrews tells us, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him," to please God, that is. "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." If you're pursuing God this morning, one of the working assumptions is that God will reward your pursuit of him. That is an assumption. That's a given from the biblical perspective, right? And that was Abraham's mindset. He, as we see, Sarah, even Sarah's example, she received power to conceive. Beloved, we find our trust in God rewarded when we step out, when we put our full weight and confidence in the God who calls us. I don't know how God's going to flesh that out specifically in your life, but I'm sure he already has if you're here this morning. I suspect that he has, right? The constant refrain throughout the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11 in particular, is by faith, just in our section that we just read, by faith Abraham obeyed. Verse 9, by faith he went. By faith, Sarah herself received. You cannot receive from God the reward of the confidence of your faith unless you exercise faith. You will not find God. You won't find your pursuit rewarded unless you're willing to exercise confidence and faith in God. But you can be sure of this, that if you do place your confidence and faith in God, it will be rewarded. That's on God. You can receive by faith God's promise. And the writer concludes, and he says, therefore, right, as a result of, verse 12, from one man, and him as good as dead. Abraham was in his 60s when he headed out. 70s years old when God called him. There's no retirement for him. Right? God is no respecter of persons or of seasons in your life. To do something that is life-changing. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Abraham received the reward of his trust in God. Look on with me to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Where is your confidence this morning? Do you see yourself as a sojourner? Do you understand that this world is a wilderness? That we live in a state of wilderness wherever we turn? I pray you do. And if you haven't awakened yet to that reality, I pray that God awakens you to that reality, that you might see that he is worth his salt, that he who promised will fulfill his promise. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning that you are a God who calls those who have no thought of you. You are the God who seeks worshipers, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray this morning that we, like Abraham, like Sarah, we might have a sojourning mindset, that we might have eyes to see that this world indeed is a wilderness. I pray that we would, like they, be willing to have a tent mentality. Lord, help us to see that this is indeed the way of the cross. This is the way to follow Jesus. Help us, enable us this morning to hold loosely all those things which are precious to us, and in the process discover that you are the greatest treasure. That the point are not the gifts themselves, but that the gifts you have given us are all pointing us beyond themselves to you. And we ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.